What's cracking? Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A truly awesome Tuesday to you. Great to have you here. What's cracking? We are live in Southern California. Nice to have you. 3-hour program. Lots to get done. As a reminder, the show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, what do you want to hit on? I've got three interviews, and we are backloading. I've got one coming up in hour number one. The second hour is open, and then I've got two in hour number three. So think about that. That's how the show is going to set up. Pick your spot. Figure out what you want to talk about. Don't forget, we've got a smack-off coming up on June 21st. Never too soon to get in, rip a golden ticket, qualify for that thing. It's always out there. Take advantage of it. Phone number is 1-800-636-8686. That phone number is paid for. I will pay all the charges. It is toll-free. It's good in the U.S. It's good in Canada. All you have to do is pick it up, lob us a phone call, get through the screener, Adam Hawk, get to me, get on the air. Work your angle. What do you want to talk about? 1-800-636-8686. I've got lots that I want to cover. NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, draft week in the NFL. And I've got some off-the-board topics, too, on a Tuesday. That's your phone number. You know how to find me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. And you can still email me directly at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The draft is coming up this week. We've tried to get as many draft prospects in as we could. I'm going to slam another one in there later on this hour. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, former safety from Florida, joins me at 40 past. Coming up in hour number three, a shortstop for the St. Louis Cardinals, Paul DeJong. Also in hour number three, the manager of the Indians, Terry Francona. That's how I'm setting it up. All right, let's start with the NBA playoffs. Milwaukee over Detroit last night, 127-104. They wrap up their sweep. They finish off their first playoff series win since 2001. But if that was your takeaway from last night, you're missing the point. Yes, it's great that Milwaukee's moving on. Yes, they handle their business like bosses. When you're up 3-0 on a team, you finish them. You choke them out. There's nothing more clinical than beating a team by 23 in their own house to end that series. But last night wasn't even about that. Last night was about one thing only. Giannis. Giannis, 41 points, 9 rebounds, 4 blocks. About Giannis, but not even about that amazing stat line. And not about him as the league MVP, which he probably will be this year. No, this is even bigger than all that. This is about Giannis taking over as the best player in the league. Now, let me say this. There is a difference between the MVP and the best player in the league. LeBron, as an example, is a 4-time MVP, but he's been the best player in the league for a lot longer than 4 years. MJ was a 5-time MVP, but his reign as the best player in the association was also a lot longer than those 5 years. Peak MJ could have and should have been the MVP every single year, but that would get old. That gets boring. Point being, there is a difference between Giannis winning the MVP this year and Giannis being the best player in the league. Now, credit to Detroit. They fought. They could have and should have packed it in last night. They weren't going to win that series, but they were still grinding out. They had pride. They didn't lay down. Detroit actually had a lead at halftime. In fact, Detroit had that lead in the third quarter. But then Giannis put on a third quarter clinic that can best be summed up in a montage.
Blake Griffin got it from in screen, lost the ball. Giannis took it away. Court length feed. Athletic Hicks puts on the brakes. Got enough room with him and Drummond and the two. Plutzo screen. Now Giannis with a mismatch on Jackson. Now they'll leave him free and he'll take those long strides right to the rack. 5.5 to go. 16 for Blake. And here comes Giannis. 13 straight Piston points authored by Blake Griffin. Antetokounmpo and the maker.
16 points in the third quarter. That's the kind of thing that the best player in the league does. The best player in the league also throws it down like this in the first quarter.
As you see, Maker picks up his second. Giannis! Out up high and hammered it home.
He took one dribble from the three-point line. One dribble, and here's the length on full display here.
That's a man playing against boys. The extension, the elevation, the nasty. That's the kind of thing that could have ended that game in that series right there. Detroit could have just shut down and screamed, let's go home.
Shut it down!
And nobody would have given a damn. And if the Pistons did not give up after that dunk, nobody would have minded if they quit after this play moments later.
Look at the speed of this Smith and the block by Antetokounmpo. Wow, that's right. Yes, that's what you do. You cannot believe what you see when he skies and rockets that high.
I'm with you, young man. Look at this. Ish Smith thinks he has a wide open layup and out of nowhere.
I mean, is this dude even for real? If you've seen that video, he damn near impaled himself on the rim. He nearly smashed his head on the rim. I mean, there's the block. And then if you saw the reaction, the horrified reaction from the Pistons fan in the stands, that fan looked like he saw a ghost. And he pretty much did. Because that is not real life. Giannis just rejected that shot into the center of the earth. I mean, holy crap. The guy came out of nowhere to do that. And yes, I understand he's doing that against an 8 seed. But again, how many people have you ever seen do that to anybody on any level? That was like that former D1er that swatted Jay Stew in a run at the local Y, landed, and got right in Stew's grill and screamed, man's game, bitch.
Man's game, bitch.
Giannis. Giannis, though, is doing all this at 6'11". 6'11". The same height as Tim Duncan. I mean, can you imagine the big fundamental, getting the ball outside the three-point line and dunking like that in one stride? Or rejecting a shot like that? I mean, no disrespect to Duncan. But can you imagine anybody anywhere doing stuff like that? Stuff like Giannis just did last night. I mean, I repeat, that bleep really ain't real. That's a cartoon character move. And speaking of moves that guys should never be able to do and that make no sense at all, what was this?
To Sterling Brown out of SMU and deep to Antetokounmpo.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
You can look, being here.
I mean, that's Kevin Harlan and Reggie Miller. That is an experienced veteran crew. That's one of the best players ever in Reggie Miller. That's one of the best broadcasters ever in Kevin Harlan. They've been around. They've seen everything. They've seen a ton of basketball in their day, and they've got no words. They've got words for literally every other occasion. And then at this point, they just give up. And there's no words. And I understand that. Because after the game, Giannis and Eric Bledsoe tried to explain that particular play. And they weren't that good at it either.
Give me the ball right in the paint. So I got up. And I just tried to imitate Bledsoe in game three. You know, I got up and tried to finish with the other hand. Whatever. I don't remember.
Can you give us your perspective, what your angle was on that play? And maybe where that ranks with what you've seen him do?
Like he said, game three came to me about my layup, the one I made in my left hand. But I had to tell him, like, bro, you understand how, you know, athletic you've been all season and finessing at the rim. So, and that one, it was just unbelievable. It was unbelievable, man.
His own teammates see it every single day, and they can't believe it. Again, I'm not saying that going 41-9-4 in a closeout game against an 8 makes you the best player in the league. I'm just saying that's the kind of thing that the best player in the league does. And I'm not saying that having a dunk like the one he threw down and a rejection like the one he had makes you the best player in the league, but those are the types of things that the best player in the league does. It's a dominant performance against an undermanned Pistons team, and everything could change in the next round. I get that. Brad Stevens, Al Horford, they might come up with something nasty to lock up Giannis, and then everybody will be looking to clown the guy. Except the era of Giannis is coming closer and closer and faster, and if it hasn't arrived already, it's about to. And if you want to say right now that he is the guy, that he is the best player in the league, I'm not going to get in the way and argue it. Not now. And if he's not there yet, he's going to be there very soon. 1-800-636-8686. They handled their business. The Rockets did not handle theirs. And I want to get into that a little bit later on. Credit to Utah, another example of a team that could have laid down and died, except they're going to make Houston fight another round. And by another round, I mean another game. That's not what the Rockets need. We know the Rockets need to have as much energy as they possibly can. I mean, what's the rap on Houston? Houston's good. Houston's really good. Houston might even be championship good, but the rap is they break down, they beat down, they gas out. They want to make sure they're the rare team. You can honestly say the sooner they get Golden State, the better. But now they've got to go at least one more game. And that could come back to bite them. Maybe. I'll get into that. Elsewhere, some NFL notes. Odell Beckham Jr. hopped on Twitter yesterday, and he had thoughts. Lots of them. And that was in response to comments that Dave Gettleman made. Gettleman still is going on about how much better the Giants are right now. He didn't come right out and say we're better without Odell Beckham, but he didn't have to. Easy to interpret his comments. Beckham had no problem interpreting his comments. So I've got thoughts on that story too. It's been a minute or two since we've heard from Donovan McNabb. McNabb was back in the news, and obviously if Donovan McNabb is in the news, things are not going well for Donovan McNabb, and they didn't. Even when the guy's not way out of line, he's still getting lit up. And the current Philadelphia Eagles are not happy with the former Philadelphia Eagle. I know you clones can't wait to rush in and fat shame Zeke Elliott. I've seen the picture. My man's not fat. You're wasting your time. You're trolling the wrong guy about the wrong thing. I'm not saying this guy's perfect. I'm not saying you don't have a right to come at this guy, but you shouldn't be coming at this guy for, quote, being fat. That's not a guy you should be fat shaming right now. Again, the wrong pitcher ends up on social, and then a lot of you got nothing better to do. A lot of you who are like 35% body fat can't wait to kill another guy who's simply not fat. That's coming up. I mentioned I've got something off the board. Hey, have you seen that video of that Easter Bunny beatdown of a D-bag in the street? If an Easter Bunny jumped the weekend all the way into Tuesday, something good must have happened. And I'm still actually waiting on whether or not I've got clearance to show the video on the TV show. Is that a yay or a nay, Hawk? 1-800-636-8686. Apparently, Hawk just got a green light. Sharon. I like it. This email reads, Dear Rome, in a league that lives and dies by the three, Giannis cannot be the best player. He can't shoot. When it's crunch time in the finals, you need a bucket. KD will get you that contested jumper, and that's why he's the best player in the world. Steven PHX, where wore Jeremy in Scani's Giannis fathead above his bed. Look, I'm not going to die on that hill today. If Giannis isn't the best player in the NBA already, he will be soon. Really soon. And he might be already. But I'm not going to die on that hill. I mean, Kevin Durant's still Kevin Durant. And we know that Durant can get whatever he wants, whenever he wants, wherever he wants, against anybody he wants. When he wants. When he's not going all facilitator with it. But I'm talking about Giannis. If he's not the best player in the NBA, he is your MVP. Rockets won't like that. But in terms of him playing both ends of the floor and playing the complete game, he is your MVP. Rome, I'm catching up on my draft prep. Could you send me tape of your interviews with prospects? Also, do you know if Drew Lock is related to the Colts quarterback? Thanks. John Gruden. Casey in New Hampshire. War Chunk calling the bathroom his war room. Hey, y'all. Clear out the bathroom. All you scouts, get out of here. Clear out the bathroom. We don't need you. We don't trust you. Ed Wells in the 360 tweets. It's obvious Giannis is definitely a man amongst boys. Signed, Danny Almonte. All right, then. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson coming up at 40 past. Second hour is open. Third hour's got two interviews. So you should figure out what you want to talk about. Also, Podcast Tuesday. Episode 78 of the Jim Rome Podcast is with Eddie Olczyk. We're talking puck, ponies, and more. So look for that. We'll drop that shortly after the program today. Are you taking good care of your car? Show your vehicle some love at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You'll get better parts, better prices every day. They have the parts you need to get the job done right, from measuring tools, mechanic wire, and motor oil, to cylinders, starters, and springs. From batteries, belts, and brakes, to filters, fluids, and fuses. O'Reilly Auto Parts has everything you need. O'Reilly stores are stocked with high-quality parts and accessories at guaranteed low prices. It is one-stop shopping for all of your vehicle needs. You need something? The store's well-trained professionals are standing by to help you out. And if you don't have time to get to a store, shop O'Reilly online. You can have your order shipped right to your home or to a store. Do you want to buy even more stuff? Then become an O'Reilly Rewards loyalty member and you will earn points every time you shop. Reach 150 points, you get a $5 reward. Keep going and earn double points, bonus points, even mega points. Plus, you get exclusive email-only offers. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim.
I'm constantly pushing all of you to do better. Do better, be better, make the show better. Trash like this does not make my show better. And if it does make my show better, it sure as hell does make my life better. Liz in Falls City, she tweets, quote, "Y'all clones, get off of Ezekiel belly butt." It's not making the show better, Liz. It's not making you better. It's not making me better. It's certainly not making my show better. And it's not making the world any better. Especially since the man's not fat. Steven, Crowtown tweets, "Don't try to sugarcoat it and say heavy keel Elliot is big boned because he'll eat that too." Again, not fat. On email, Rome, "People want to call me fat. Just because my favorite celebration consists of me pretending to shovel food down my throat does not make me fat. Lay off. Yours, enchilada eggs Benedict." Aaron in Omaha, "War Zeke changing his celebration to a table-clearing food dump into his gullet next season instead of the simple spoon churn." All right, granted, his celebration makes it a lot easier for all of you to pile on. Still doesn't mean that he's overweight. Enchilada eggs Benedict. Yeah, that sounds exactly like Ezekiel Elliott. Well done, Aaron. I'm not ready to go there yet. We're not talking about that yet. I'm just saying I want to get out in front of it because I know what you'll do. I know what you do when you see one picture of a guy that's not that flattering. Essentially makes your entire day. And when your entire day is made, mine's wrecked. I'm not letting that happen. Not today. Moving on. Odell Beckham Jr. hops on Twitter yesterday, and he had thoughts. In fact, he had lots of thoughts, and they appeared to be in reaction to Giants GM Dave Gettleman. Gettleman did an interview with NJ.com, and he aired some things out. Here's part of it. Quote, "There's more to it than just collecting talent. There is a cultural thing to it that's critical. I have not been on a team that's gone to a Super Bowl that's had a culture problem," end quote. So, did they have one with the Giants? Was there a culture problem with the Giants? Quote, "Not anymore," he said with a satisfied smile. End quote. Not anymore. Which you can imagine, that made its way back to Odell. And as you might also imagine, Odell was ready. Odell, in fact, was prolific on Twitter yesterday to the point where it's almost hard to figure out when he started going in on Gettleman. But it was probably somewhere after this tweet. Quote, "Listen, PSA, I'm having one of the best days of my life. I have gotten some of the greatest news. So don't play with me because I'm shooting back. For all the haters out there that want a response, today is the day, my friend." Oh, hell yeah. Yesterday was the day, all right. And he was shooting back. Shooting back with tweets like this. Quote, "Ask the coach. I begged him to go to each and every one of those games, actually for my teammates, and to be on the sideline for the home games. He told me no. Anything else, sir? That's to whoever tweeted asking why I didn't travel while I was hurt." Next. Somebody tweeted at him, quote, "Stop crying, you loser. There's no reason to go after a Class A franchise because you were a locker room cancer and they realize they need to change the culture. Grow up and show a little maturity for the first time in your career. Hashtag overrated." Beckham saw that. Beckham responded with, and I quote, "LOL, you follow me," with the laughing emojis. He's got a point, right? If the guy is an immature loser who is overrated and a cancer, why are you following him? And then Odell chased that with this, quote, "Ask any one of my teammates of who I was as a teammate and a man and a person. Yes, I'm cancer to a place that's okay with losing because I want to win that bad. You're absolutely correct. End quote. And then there was more. There was this from Beckham where he repeated some of Gettleman's previous comments. Quote, we didn't sign him to trade him. You don't get married to get a divorce. I tried my best. The situation I'd been in since I got there never changed. We were still losing. Period. Money doesn't bring happiness, brother. Remember that. Now, here's the thing about this entire exchange. Normally, I would say that Odell probably should stay above this whole thing, not get hooked. Except I don't have a problem with it this time. I do not have a problem with this because it seems like the guy who's really hooked on what happened with Odell is not Odell. It's Gettleman. Because Dave Gettleman keeps bringing it up, going to the media and telling them that you don't have a culture problem anymore after you traded Odell Beckham Jr. Most other GMs would have moved on by now. After all, there is a draft coming up in a couple of days. Most guys in that spot would be focused on that, not talking about their previous moves. But it seems like DG is the one who can't wait to talk about that. He's the one who's not letting it go. He also couldn't wait to talk about himself. He told NJ.com, quote, I've been to 7 Super Bowls. I feel very strongly that I know what it should look like, what it should smell like, what it should taste like. And so you can look at me and say, well, either I know what I'm doing or I'm a big fat rabbit's foot. Neither one's bad, right? I like my resume so far. Yeah, all right, Dave. I'm not sure what a Super Bowl should smell like, but I also know what or that if I was coming off a 5-11 season in 2018, I would not be referencing Super Bowls from the early 90s as evidence that I know what I was doing. I mean, what the hell have you done for me lately? What's it smell like? It smells like desperation. So does blaming everything on a culture problem and claiming that it was fixed when you got fleeced in a trade. You know what that smells like? That smells like somebody else getting over on you. That smells like failure. But here's the weird thing about all of this. Gettleman seems to think that it's working. He seems to think that betting on an aging Eli Manning and trading the best receiver in franchise history is a good thing. He seems to think that's the plan and that he got over. Yeah, well, that better be the plan. Did you check that detail in the NJ.com article? When asked if the team had a culture problem, the response was, quote, not anymore, he said with a satisfied smile. You know, like, yeah, I got this. Great, Dave, you better have this. You're hyping your resume. You're the guy playing chess when we're all playing checkers. All right, fine. Prove it. After all the talking and all the hyping that you've been doing about your team, about your culture, hell, about yourself, the Giants better have a winning record this season. In fact, a winning record probably would not be enough given this guy's self-promotion. Given everything they're blaming Odell for, they better be better than the Rams. They better be better than the Chiefs on offense this year. Now, if that guy's gone, everything's fixed now, right? Because that guy's gone. Everything should take off now offensively because the guy dragging them down is gone. Yeah, the 2019 Giants, man, they better be the 72 Dolphins. Or this guy's going to look bad. And that aroma that he smells will not be the smell of a Super Bowl. And I can't wait to hear what this guy says when Beckham kills it in Cleveland and they all rave about what an amazing teammate he is there and the Giants completely mess the bet offensively again. Who are you going to blame when that happens? I know you won't be looking in the mirror, Dave. Ownership should rip the shovel out of this guy's hands before he digs any deeper, and he better hope that old man Eli can cash the checks he's writing with his gap. But we know that's not going to happen either. The Giants won the trade, Beckham won the day on Twitter, and if Gettleman knows what's best, he will stop bumping his gums. All right, when we come back, you can react to it, and we get ready for the draft. That's what this guy should be focused on. The draft. Speaking of the draft, a former safety from Florida, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, joins me.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. For the better part now of several weeks, we've been drafting as many or talking to as many draft prospects as possible to get ready for this week's NFL draft. And as we get closer, we continue to do so. Welcome back. We're joined right now by a former DB from Florida. He led the team with four interceptions last year. Nine career picks, including three that he returned for TDs, 71 tackles, nine for a loss, three sacks, two pass breakups last season, a two-time bowl MVP. The NFL draft starts on Thursday. We are joined by Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Chauncey, nice to have you on. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Good. It's great to have you. So the draft is now 2 days off. Let me start right there. You're almost there. What has the entire experience been like for you leading up to the draft?
It's been long and tiring. Like the first half, like training for the combine, it came up on us quick. And then like after that, it's just like everything going real slow. Like meeting with teams, workouts, and it's just like, man, when the draft going to be here? Nah, a couple days away. So now it's like, I feel like it's coming up fast now. So.
Good for you, man. I appreciate that. That's an honest response. That is work. Of course it's work. It's a big-time job interview. Now, the thing that keeps coming up is when people talk about you, they evaluate your game, and you're talked about as a guy who's the perfect DB for how the NFL is played right now. In other words, you've got the speed to cover guys, you've got the size to match up with big receivers and tight ends, and you can play safety. The list goes on. So let me ask you, what do you feel like you bring to the team that does draft you?
Versatility. I'm the best safety in this draft. Like you said, I can play multiple positions. I've done what coaches called upon with three different coaching staff. So I feel like I can do the best. Pretty playing free safety, really. When teams call on me, I can play in the middle of the field. I can come down the park, covering a slot. So I just have fun, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do and going out, competing, and just playing my responsibility no matter where I go on the field.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, my guest. Now, because of that versatility, there are a number of different spots that you can play, but I've heard you make the point that nickel corner is a grown man position. What do you mean by that, and then how much do you like that challenge of being in that spot?
So when I tweeted that, I was going. Me and my dad and my uncle, my trainer, was going through the Super Bowl history. For the past 2 years, Super Bowl has been won in the slot. The past 3 years, and the Patriots slot receiver, you know, dominated. And if you just watch the game in the NFL, a lot of slot receivers are, you know, dominant. Tyree Hill, Julian Edelman, all them guys. You know, they're just doing what they're supposed to do. And to get open, there's not too many guys that cover them. So I feel like, like you said, the new era DB, I can go in a slot and cover them and do what I have to do and hold it down and play within the defense and have fun. And possibly my team in Super Bowl wherever I go.
All right, so for those who don't follow that thing really closely, what's it take to play nickel corner as compared to playing safety, for instance? What's the biggest difference?
You're close to the ball. And you can see everything a lot quicker, so you have to make a sudden decision, a quick decision to make. If it's right, if it's right, if it's wrong, just live with it and go your all, and coach will coach you up. So I feel like that nickel spot is like more, it's more it's like a safety too. It's like another linebacker. You talk to the linebacker, you talk to the D-line. So you have to do what you have to do to get in and get out.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson joining us. The draft's coming up on Thursday. Now, there are a couple of ways you can go about the draft evaluation process, right? Like, one of them is you could take all the negative stuff in, and that goes into your head. Or the other one is you can hear all the positive stuff and let that go into your head. How have you been dealing about everything that people have been saying about you since you did declare for the draft?
I've been taking both. But mainly I take, me and my agent and my mom, my parents, we take everything. We take the bad parts because you got to think about it. You want to think of the worst. What's the worst possible situation that you can live in, and what's the worst possible situation that you can handle? And if you can take that, then the good is gonna handle itself. So I feel like, you know, we're focused on what we can control. You know, we're not worried about what people think. I can go. It's just like whatever team calls on me, I'll just be happy to go. Like if I don't even get drafted at all, I just make the most of my opportunities and do what I have to do because I know I can play. So I'm just ready to go out and just show everybody, you know, the draft is just one thing, but once you get there, it's another thing, and the steps you take to improve and play as a player. Improve and improve and improve and take progression as a player.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson joining us, getting ready for the draft. Now, one of the things you've talked about is that you don't want to just be a good player. You want to be the best player, the best teammate, the best person in the community. And when you know where you're going to play, how do you go about approaching being a great teammate? Like, what's your approach going to be in the locker room and as a leader?
Just going out there and just working. Put my head down and work. You know, I'm going to be a young guy, rookie, don't know the ropes. So I just want to go in and learn as much. Open ear and open arms to any advice, any possibility that I can have because you don't know what might happen. You know, I might get hurt and never play football again, so I want to be able to take those knowledges that I learned from the steps I can in the league and just pass them down, just help guys get there and get to their dream. Because like I said, where I'm from, not a lot of people make it to this point. So just to get here where I have to stay here in order to, you know, make myself known, but just also do have to do what's right on and off the field to make everybody respect me, just not as well prepared as a man.
All right, so when you look back on your college career and you look back on your time at Florida, the 2017 season did not go the way that anybody would have liked when you were 4-7, but then you completely turned that around in 2018 with a 10-win season, which included a bowl win over Michigan. How much pride do you take in the fact that you were a part of that turnaround?
The team voted me as a team captain. And like I said, leading by example. And just going in, like, I was one of those rah-rah guys who talked a lot, but when it was time to open my arms up to freshmen, open my arms up to new coaching, open my arms up to anybody, I just want to go in and be the best because, you know, I told them 4-8 don't feel good to anybody. And we're playing the big boy league. So we got to, you know, put our big boy pants on and go out there and play. Not worry about the record, worry about the score, don't worry about who's on the field, but the 10 guys or 11 guys on the field with you. So I just want to go out there, you know, and leave my mark on the program. And I feel like I did that with how we played, you know, how we brought energy every game. You know, we took some bumps, but we still brought energy, coming into practice, ready to play, willing to go out for our teammates and do what we have to do.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, my guest. All right, and then you had a pick six in that win over Michigan. What do you remember about that play, and how good did it feel to cap off your career with a game like that?
That play, I was just like, well, we got to get him off the field so offense can take the knee. And I seen the ball, I was like, oh, yeah, it's time to go score, because I knew it was coming my way, but it was me and my teammate James going for the ball, and he actually dove. So I was just kind of hesitant. I'm like, and like, okay, he's gonna hit me. I'm like, man, I'm out there playing with my teammates. You know, this hit wouldn't take anything. So when the ball fell in my hands, I was like, just get to the end zone, get to our crowd, and let them soak in the moment with me.
And Chauncey, last month your son was born. What was that moment like? Talk to me about that. What was that moment like?
That was a life touchdown. You know, life came quick, and my son was actually, he wasn't here for the whole season. But he was in my grave, you know, he was in the stomach. So that moment there opened my eyes a lot because, you know, I'm not only playing football, I'm also a father. And everybody said, oh, you want to be the best father you can be, this and that. But my thing is, I want to be the best father possible at any time. I don't want to be the best football player to my son. I want to be the best father I can be to my son. And I feel like that's the best advice I can get to any parent, any new parent, you know, because you can get life mixed up, and I don't want to get my son's life mixed up with my life, because once I play football, I'm selfish to it. But once I'm off the field, I'm doing what I have to do, I'm selfish to my son and the time that we spend and things we have to do to get accomplished as a man.
Hey, listen, you're finding this out already, but being a parent is like the most awesome responsibility ever. It's great, but it's an awesome, awesome responsibility. Your family members talk about how much you love being a dad. So far, has it been what you expected, or maybe on some level, has it been even better than you expected?
It's been better because as a dad, everybody said, oh, he's going to cry every night. He's going to do this. My son hasn't cried at all that night. He goes to sleep just like me, and he sleeps in his own bed. Only time he cries when he has to change his diaper, he's hungry. Other than that, my son just stay off in the space, chill, watch TV, you know. He watches a little TV. He relaxes, but it's living up to the standard that everybody expects. It's not for having a baby because everybody's baby is different, and my son is doing, you know, absolute opposite. And he did a push-up. And he may not believe, but he did a push-up at, like, I think a month old already. He just pushed his head up. I mean, that counts. You know how that goes.
Dude, I was going to ask you about that now. I mean, you put it out there that he's already a great athlete, that he already did a push-up a couple of days after he was born. I mean, is he backpedaling yet? Have you got him to squats and power cleans yet? Where's he at athletically now?
Speed turning. We're working on speed turning. Get your head around. As you get your head around, you go from there.
That's something else. Listen, before last season, you changed your name to Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. You added Johnson in honor of Brian Johnson, your stepfather. You'd been writing Johnson on your homework for years, but when you made it official, Brian said that he was in tears. He still gets emotional thinking about that. What does he mean to you, and what's it mean to you to know that that honor means so much to him?
Really a lot. You know, he's been there since I was 3. And he hasn't missed anything. He hasn't missed track meet, football game, basketball game. I don't think he missed the spelling bee either. Not one time in the spelling bee, he was there. You know, he trying me to beat everybody, but I lost in the first round because I couldn't spell together. But it's cool. It's been fun. Just a big honor. You know, everybody know who my dad is. And now that they see that his name is on the back and they see the energy I planted for him and our family, it's just like, dang, like, just because you have a stepfather don't mean that stepfather can be your real father. And he stepped in as a man, you know, what men supposed to do, you know, come in, take care of my mom, take care of my two little brothers, and just be there, you know. being there was the best part. You know, everything else fell in place, but just being there for me, knowing I had somebody to, you know, run to if something went wrong or just talk to them about anything.
Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, my guest. So finally, he talks about how much pride he had in seeing that name on your jersey at Florida, but he's also said that he's still in awe of how good you are. He said, quote, "He used to tell me he was going to play in the NFL. I told him he was crazy," end quote. Yet here we are, a couple of days off. What's it like knowing that you're only a matter of days away from finally realizing that dream after all the work?
It's hard. It's hard to just think about one moment. Everybody say, what's the key moment to get you? But every moment really boiled up to this point, and every moment just, you know, built in for me. It's just all the anger, all the tears, all the happiness. It just built up to this moment. Like I said, I told my dad when I was young I was going to play in the film. He told me it was crazy. I told him he was crazy because he's not supposed to shoot my dreams down. And now that it's coming true, it's just like I got to go grab it. Now I'm getting closer and closer. But now once I grab it, what am I going to do with it? And I feel like once I get there, like I said earlier, I'm just ready to put my head down and keep working because I'm not done. I want to be the best in the world. That's how I feel. I want to be better than Deion. And Deion was my favorite player to watch. And I went to a couple of his camps. And I even told him, I'm going to be better than you. And then he laughed, but that's just how I think. And now that it's getting closer, reality is really going to sink in and just, like I said, I got to go get it.
In other words, like, who's crazy now, Pops? Who's crazy now, Pops?
Yeah.
Draft coming up on Thursday.
Yes, sir.
All right. He's a former DB from Florida. He led that team with 4 picks last season. Chauncey Gardner-Johnson right there on the precipice. Chauncey, great to have you on. Listen, good luck with that, and we'll run you down once you get in the NFL and you know where you're going to live and when you're going to work. I'll look forward to talking to you again.
Appreciate it. Thank you. You too.
Appreciate you. Well done. Good job. This is why we want to get these prospects on. Great story. 1-800-636-8686. He said, I want to be the best. I want to be better than Deion. I told him that at his camp. I want to be better than you. That's an aspiration right there. Deion can play a little. He can talk a lot, and he can play a little. All right, he can play more than a little. Prime can play now, even if he didn't want some of that contact. All right, what are your thoughts on that? Also, going back to Odell Beckham. His reaction to when I said, what was the process like? And I started almost every prospect with that same question because it really is a process. What has been the buildup, or what is the buildup and the lead-in like to this? And his response was long and tiring, which was awesome. Because it is long and tiring, but nobody really says it. That was honest as hell. That guy kept it real. It'd be like me saying, yo, Alvy, that commute you've been making now for so long, what's that like? Dude, what do you think, man? It's long and tiring. It's beating me down, Van Smack. What do you think? All right, so also, what about Dave Gettleman and Odell Beckham Jr.? You know, who needs to let this go? My point is, normally I would say about Odell, man, don't get hooked. Do not get hooked. Turn the page. You're in such a good situation right now. You're in a much better situation right now. Let it go. But notice I'm not saying that about that guy. Not this time. Not today. Because he wasn't the one that brought this thing back up again. And by the way, Gettleman's not letting it go. Gettleman is the guy who keeps going back to it. He's the guy who keeps pointing out, now our culture's good. Now our chemistry is good. I know what a Super Bowl smells like. Like, why does he keep going back to it? Normally a GM, after making that deal, would have moved beyond that a long time ago. So I've got no problem with Beckham reaching for the phone. Normally I do. Not just him, but any player, reaching the phone to thumb it out, to react to it again. This time I don't. This guy was minding his own business, having the best day ever. Hey, Jim, that was a heartwarming story about Chauncey Gardner taking his stepfather's last name. How many more high school referees do I need to beat down to get my stepson to do that? Sign Mike McCarthy. Idiot. That actually was a really good story about his stepdad. Why do you want to wreck it with a moronic email like that? All right, we're coming back. Open phones in hour number 2. Man, step it up. Get on the phone. You have your phone number. You know what you have to do. Get in here, make a difference. Elevate the program. Stay tuned.